Okay, boys and girls, starting over, we've hopefully got our volumes up a little bit. I guess they creep down over time. Headphones went out, mics went down, I don't know.
But it's the motherboard.
Yeah, it's a mother of a board. All right, there we go. Okay, let's see. Jumping right into the fray. The Peace River Systems. Hang on a minute. Frank, you know, once he starts playing, he just doesn't want to stop.
Yeah.
I talked to Morris and try and get together. Because now with this, you know, the back parking lot doesn't have any craters or potholes or moon craters in it anymore. We were able to get most of that fixed today. It will be fixed better here in a little while. Phase one is done in the back parking lot. And phase two is finished getting the drainage correct. And once that's done, then I can start working on my music room.
There you go.
I'm working on everything in the store except my own personal stuff. So, one for me soon. Peace yes. River Systems. Anything up there?
There's been some juvenile tarpon and even a couple of adult tarpon up there, especially from the Harbor Heights area up to the Navigator. Still quite a few snook guys catching some bigger snook that are being patient and working some of the deeper bends and curves in the river. And I'm also hearing of some snook up there by the Shell Creek Dam, especially when we've gotten some of these rains and it kind of dumps for a little bit. It's only been like a day where it runs real hard and then it slows down, but if you catch that moment just right, definitely the tarpon and the snook are right there waiting for the critters to flow over.
Yeah. Well, definitely doing pretty good up on the river right now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hopefully I got this right. 524. Yep. Right date. Yeah. Okay. Darst
and 75, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's been some big black drum there. And then there's been also some really big snook hanging around the same bunks there. And been quite a few juvenile tarpon first thing in the morning. And even a few in the afternoon. The wind the last couple of days has been blowing straight down there. So a couple guys said they went out the other night and they said it was a little too bumpy to see much going on. And they didn't mess with it. They ended up going over and fishing the northern end and catching a couple tiny snook and tiny trout.
Yeah, I'm getting some pictures for the fishing report, which is nice.
Yeah.
Got people sending those in.
Been seeing you posting some of the older pictures on Facebook page. That's been pretty cool.
Yeah, on Fish and Frank's, if you do the little Fish and Frank's wooden icon on the front page, you can see what we're posting on Facebook. If you don't like doing Facebook like me, I don't like doing Facebook. So, but we're doing a lot of the old Polaroid pictures and some of the newer stuff.
It's so cool to see all that history. I like it.
41 Bridge?
41 Bridge. Let's see, during the daytime, there has been a few cobia being caught down there along with some small bull sharks. There has been some tarpon and snook at night and in the early morning. And then I've heard of a couple of trout and a couple of whiting also. Guys are seeing some black drum, but not catching any. That northern end, that new park that they built underneath there, guys are really, really utilizing that pretty well from a fishing standpoint.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed. The county actually did one pretty much right. It's not perfect, but hey, at least it's an effort. And they put fishing extensions on it so you don't have to stand where the people walk. You've got little fishing decks and you've got another pier actually for fishing. And, you know, it's kind of cool. The one thing I do like about it there is that you can get out of the sun.
Yeah.
You can go there and stand under the bridge if it's raining or real hot out. And, you know, be either be in the shade or out of the rain, you know, somewhat. So it's pretty cool in that aspect.
Yeah, it is.
Lashley Pier?
Lashley Pier has got some small snook, a few whiting, a couple of trout, and some decent mangrove snapper. Some of the guys have been going down there with the little silver sides, and also a couple guys going down there with glass minnows. Not glass minnows, I'm sorry, thread fins, cutting the thread fins into chunks. They've been doing pretty good on the mangs, like 12 inchers, 12 and a half, 13 inchers. Not bad.
You would think you'd find those big ones in PGI, but every once in a while they move into that Lashley Pier, Bayshore, underneath 41 Bridge.
Yeah.
and right now they're doing it. I think they're just, you know, doing a little spawn thing before they get ready to head to the Gulf.
Right. Yeah, I haven't heard of much at the 41 Bridge with them, but I'm sure they're there. The guys are just concentrating on other fun stuff.
Yeah, on the rocks up against the shoreline on the Punta Gorda side from a boat, it's actually a lot easier to catch them. You're not really fishing the bridge pilings. You're fishing along the sidewalk there. Wherever you see the great big rocks up against the seawall, right down from that, you're going to find those snappers.
There you go.
You know, if you're looking, it's just a concrete seawall. Yeah, not much. But all of a sudden, you see a bunch of big rocks and stuff. Well, those rocks go all the way down into the water to the bottom, and it's right at the base of those you find the big snapper.
There you go.
Okay, Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier's had a couple of small bull sharks, a couple of cobia, and a handful of small trout and whiting. Starting to pick up just a little bit with some better reports over there. It's weird. Got a few reports on bigger cobia, but the majority of the cobia this run has been smaller. Notice that?
Well, they upped the size limit, too.
Yeah. But still, just kind of odd. Every other year, it seems different.
The bigger cobia would come through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all possible.
And usually there, it's usually, like, nice cobia. You just get so used to that all the time.
And the Port Charlotte Canal is brought to you by Chuck's Custom Carpentry. Yay!
Yes,
definitely. Go hire Chuck. Have him build you a bathroom or a living room or a bedroom or a house or something, you know. He's real good.
Pretty much anything you want.
So, Port Charlotte Canals?
Lots of snook, lots of jacks. Get some pretty decent reports on juvenile tarpon in the East Spring Lake and West Spring Lake area. And they've actually been cooperating fairly good over at West Spring Lake from the boat ramp up towards the Midway Bridge. Been quite a few little fish, you know, in that 10 to 30 pound range over there. There's been some decent mangrove snappers also being caught throughout there. And they're all fat, you know, 11, 12 inches. They look like they have a belly, like, unbelievable. The couple guys I've talked to have said they're full of little shrimp and other unidentifiable critters. You know, because one guy thought they were pregnant.
Yeah.
but he foul hooked it, so he wanted to keep it and eat it. And he said, I'll be darned if it wasn't just
fat.
Fat. I'm like, okay, I'll buy that.
All right, Algebane Pier.
A lot of snook at night. There's been some decent tarpon there at night and early in the morning. And the jacks have been coming through in the early morning there. You know, not the giants, but 5 to 10 pounds. I mean, good jack compared to what we heard in years, but... And then there's also been a few black drum and more mangrove snapper going on there. Been pretty decent, and that's off the bridge, under the bridge, off the pier, all of it.
Okay. The Mackinac River area, Tippy, the cutoff, the river.
Tippy Canoe's got a lot of big snook kind of moving out of there, or all around there, I should say. And then false alarm on a sneeze.
Okay.
There's been some cobia and small sharks throughout the center from maybe halfway down towards the marker at the mouth of the Myakka. There isn't great numbers yet, but they have been there. And then there's also been a few Spanish mixed in with them. There's been some glass minnows, and there's a whole lot of little thread fins, like 2 to 4 inch thread fins out there. People are mistaking them for white bait and killing a bunch, but a couple guys are at least smart enough to save them and use them, still chumming them up.
South Gulf Cove canals.
Mayan cichlids and bass. Had a lot of guys doing the freshwater baits over in there fishing for some of the juvenile tarpon that have been rolling around, but mostly they're catching some bass. The Mayan cichlids. People are seeing the tilapia, but not catching as many as they normally do. And then the one guy who trolls in and out of there, he's been getting a few snook. He got one that was 33 inches. He was supposed to send you the picture of it.
I don't know if he has or not. I've been going through my stuff because I got to take the ones off the phone and then the ones from the email.
Gotcha.
So I'm trying to get to them all and get him up in the right places and everything. I've got like 4 to get up right now.
Gotcha.
All right, the West Wall.
A lot of snook. A whole lot of snook. They're swimming in groups of 2 to 20 fish, and they're running from 20 inches to 40 inches along the bushes, and even 15, 20 feet out away from the bushes. Had a few guys get into some pompano at the end of last week. And then there's also been a handful of good oversized redfish, 30, 34 inch fish. Those have been mostly on the southern end of the west wall. And those guys are catching all the bigger fish, whether it's the snook or the redfish, on cut bait, cut ladyfish, cut mullet, cut sardines. Seems to be working exceptionally well on some of those bigger fish right now.
How do you think that new chum coating's or bait coating's going to work?
I'd be real curious to try it on a natural bait and see how it...
Food, ladyfish, mullet, sardines, shrimp, anything dead bait, you put it in the bag, you shake it up.
I think it's gonna enhance things in general. I mean, I definitely, by all means, don't think it's gonna hurt. You know, because you know how some scents can kind of be questionable.
Well,
I think that stuff's so amazing with how well it draws in pinfish and how well it draws in white bait in certain scenarios. I mean, it's just, and to put such a huge scent trail out there, and not only that, but it's going to cloud up the water just a little tiny bit, so it might make your hook and leader just a little less visible and entice them a little bit more to strike at it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fascinated by it.
Yeah,
I want to get out there and play with it.
I think it's going to allow you to buy frozen bait and have it work almost as good as fresh bait, or as good.
Yeah, I could see that, absolutely.
You know, I think with when you catch fish and it's fresh and you cut it up, you've got all the blood and the natural scents going through. But when you freeze it and it all crystallizes, you do get some of it, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it still works. But I think putting this on that, you know, shake it stuff is going to do pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes has got a lot of stuff going on it. There's bonnet head sharks, been a handful of trout, few pompano, some mangrove snapper have even been out there a little bit in some of those deeper troughs that go around there. And then there's been the Spanish mackerel, some ladyfish, a handful of tarpon have been cruising across it, but guys are just seeing them and not hooking any. And then as you get closer towards the bushes that cut through between Muddy Cove and Turtle Bay, a lot of snook staged up through there. Been really, really productive down there. And the water's super clear, so you got a lot of cool visibility aspects of it too, so you can see fish coming.
Alright, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Lots of snook and redfish moving around through there. There's been some pretty good sized redfish moving along the bushes in both bull and turtle. And the snook, same thing, and they're super staged up. One guy goes in there and sees a whole bunch. Another guy goes in there and says he doesn't see anything until he comes back out. So they're moving around quite a bit. Trout, been a few, but most of them have been on the small side. And then there's also been a handful of bonnet heads and a couple of small black tips cruising around in there. Borderline, maybe baby bull sharks. I haven't seen a good enough picture of it to tell the difference.
All right. Cape Hayes, Danger Reef,
Spanish mackerel, couple cobia, black nose, Atlantic sharp nose, and even been a couple of bigger bulls and a couple of small hammerheads, like 5 to 6 foot in both the bulls and the hammerheads. But a whole lot of bait fish throughout that whole area.
Just doing a couple of corrections here. All right. Let's see. Gasparilla Sound.
The flats are ate up. There's been some Spanish mackerel out in that 4 to 5 feet of water, along with a couple small bluefish. And then as you move up into the flats in that whole Whidden Bay area, snook and redfish are mostly against the bushes, with some trout, ladyfish, and even some tarpon out in the deeper flats in that 2 to 4 feet of water. Just cover some ground and keep a real good eye open, because almost all these fish, a lot of the bigger fish, you can actually see So, I mean, everyone's talking about how great the visibility is down there right now, and a lot of that bait was pushed in, glass minnows and stuff was pushed in off the beach, so that whole flat is alive with little fry, keeping everything preoccupied.
Okay, and Placida Trestle, Gasparilla Pass.
Placida Trestle got some really nice mangrove snapper on it right now. And then there's also been some really good snook at night and even during the day if you're in a boat fishing along the trestle. And underneath the bridges there's been some big snook and some tarpon. Had a couple guys even catch a couple of, if they were in season, legal size gags. And then there's also been the Atlantic sharpnose, some blacknose, Spanish mackerel kind of coming and going through there. Not super consistent, but definitely enough where you should be trying to fish for them. And a couple of Spanish have been bigger.
All right, Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay's got a lot of snook up there. The snook are moving out of the canals and underneath a lot of the docks on the mainland side, and then also out on the deeper flats. Guys are catching Spanish mackerel through the whole intercoastal and some of that deeper water. Once you get into that 4 feet of water or better, that's when you start to hit the Spanish. And I've only heard of a couple of trout up in there. No redfish reports this week up there.
Alright. Making a few spelling corrections as I go along.
It's kind of funny, you get a hard time for that, yet your information is like unbelievable.
Hey, do what I can with what I got. You know, it wasn't like I was an A student in school and I passed the typing skills. I mean, you
right.
know, let's say Englewood Pier.
Englewood Pier's got a lot of shark guys fishing off of it. There's been a lot of the small Atlantic sharp nose and some black tips being caught off of it. And then the snook and juvenile tarpon have even been really good off the Anger Pier and underneath the Tom Adams Bridge itself. The handful of guys that are fishing down deep around there are getting a few whiting, a few small trout, heard of a couple black drum and a couple sheep's head up there, and smaller black drum, like 10, 12, 15 pounders, still really stripey. What else have I heard of there? That's pretty much about it.
Okay, Venice Jetties.
Spanish mackerel. And the snook are really starting to stack up in there along with some mangrove snapper. They're starting to get a little bit thicker. Had a couple reports of some bluefish, but they were really, really, really small.
Okay. And Gulf of Mexico.
Lots of different reports. Let's see, we got inshore or near shore, 3 to 10 miles out. Lots of Spanish mackerel, some permit, a few small cobia, and then you got the lanes and the mangrove snapper and the porgies and stuff like that all doing pretty good on the smaller near shore reefs along with some sharks. Once you get out there to 15 to 25 miles, that's when the big yellowtail snapper, big mangrove snapper, and the mangrove snapper up to like 4 or 5 pounds. They've been getting some permit also out there along with some Spanish mackerel and a couple of oddball kings that have been still around. And the barracuda are starting to slowly move in on a lot of those different reefs out there.
You know, it's funny, just about the time you think, you know, well, I don't have to put the names of these fish in the pictures, they're pretty obvious, I get the emails from the guys up north going, come on, Frank, put the names on here so we know what we're looking at, you know? And it's just kind of funny that you forget.
Oh, the pictures of the fish.
Yeah, on there. Ooh, knocking everything over. And, of course, that's what I should be doing. You know, I should have the pictures on there with the names, who caught it, what it is. And occasionally, me who berates people, you forgot what it's like to start, and you know people don't begin as a fishing guide. They start off using a little bit of stuff and, you know, and work their way on up into it, and they don't know all these things, and that's what time, experience, and all that's for, And here I am not even putting the names of the fish on the pictures because I just thought, well, I don't, you know, why would I have to do that? People know what those fish are.
Go to page 12. That's our fish identification page.
No, it was...
I know, I'm being smart.
All I'm saying is I was being a dumbass. I was taking for granted, and I shouldn't have been.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think we're all responsible for that once in a while.
Yeah, we are guilty of it every once in a while, but I usually try not to be, and it just didn't even occur to me I should do that.
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally understand that.
But I won't make that mistake anymore.
Nah. All good.
Alright. It gets confusing. So much crap.
I see a lot more stuff on there. I'm going to have to go on that again and look at it.
Alright. Boca Grande Pass.
Tarpon. Pretty simple. Most everyone else is scared to go in there right now. I know there's snapper in there, and I know there's Spanish mackerel, but it's tarpon. Especially this weekend, it's chaotic tarpon. And it's been a crab feed, unfortunately, however you want to look at it.
Let's see, tarpon, and boats. Okay. And Captiva Pass?
Captiva Pass has got some, tarpon, some good sharks of assorted sizes from 2 foot to 8 foot. There's been some nice mangrove snapper being caught down there with some big Spanish mackerel. And that's been a really good spot and way underutilized this time of year. If you want to bottom fish a little bit or just catch a variety of stuff, and you've taken me down there the few
red
times.
Redfish Pass?
Love it. I haven't heard squat.
Okay. We usually don't get reports from that far south.
Once in a while, when the snooks start to stack up down there, that's when we start to really get some better reports.
17th?
17th Street?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, that's a new one. I don't remember that one being
right in the middle of Boca Grande.
Yeah, I know right where it's at. It's got the reef. 300 and
yeah.
So, okay. Whiting. Some small snook are starting to move out there onto the beach. And then there's always been the occasional small shark or tarpon that's possible from the beach there. I haven't fished that spot in a long time. It's such a tricky parking spot.
All right. Middle Beach?
Middle Beach has got some jacks. There's been a few pompano over there. Lizard fish started to move back in there pretty well. And that's about it that I got there.
Let's see. Sanibel? Sanibel.
Sanibel on the outside has been tarpon right there off of Knapp's Point. And then on the inside by the Sanibel Causeway, they've been catching a lot of different things. Some nice tarpon. Some really big snook. Handful of varieties of sharks. Spanish mackerel, trout, and that's about it. But a good mixed bag of stuff down there. You know, I haven't fished there in forever.
Yeah, we gotta go down and get pictures of a lot of this stuff.
It's been a real long time since I've been down there fishing it.
It happens.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff close to home.
Yeah. I would have just thought you and her would have taken a drive down there. You guys like to go driving and fishing and stuff.
Yeah.
Franklin Locks, hearing a lot of snook up there. A
lot of snook. A whole lot of snook. Some on both sides of the locks. And then there's been some pretty good bass activity too. And then there's also been some bluegills starting to pick up a little bit. I guess they started releasing some water again, but half the volume that they normally do, but it's been getting some of the bluegill fired up.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They literally are just doing what they've always done up until this last year. And always shocking how no one wants to dig in and look, and they just want to react and go crazy. It's like the whole world's made of liberal whack jobs where... Oh, this is... Blah, blah, blah. Well, the year we had Hurricane Irma, we had a big dump rain, washed a bunch of garbage into Okeechobee, and it was a lot of rain, very short, stopped, and it never left Okeechobee, so it got a whole bunch of extra garbage in there. Irma hits, the rain's right before Irma hits, and all of a sudden Okeechobee's flooding, getting more and more, way too much water in it, and it's got all this garbage in. Hurricane Irma comes through, and in a lake that's 20 feet deep was making 25 foot waves. Just scoured the bottom up, turned it into a mixy soup of weird stuff. At that point, this is where the human stupidity comes into, is the Army Corps engineers opened the locks up and just flooded water out trying to drop the water levels because they were working on the dike slash dam, whatever it is that protects all the people in that area, you know, from flooding. So when they were working on it, they were afraid all that extra water is going to breach the levee and everything was going to go bad, so they just did a quick dump of everything, which caused the blue-green algae and all this and all that and all the next thing. But it took three separate things. It's like that where they talk about the perfect storm, where you had the big hurricane coming in, which hit the cold front, which hit this and everything, and it all got together to form a perfect storm. Well, they've been dumping the water from Lake Okeechobee since 1939. And all of a sudden now it's at crisis level. Give me a break. Is it good? No. Is it catastrophic? Not unless you have a whole lot of really weird circumstances all to come together.
Right.
Other than that, it's been handling it since 1938. And everybody tells me about, oh, the good old days in the 70s and all this when the fishing was great. Well, they were dumping Okeechobee here at that point, too.
Mm-hmm.
So with DDT in it. So, okay, guys, let's get a little real about all this and not so reactionary. You know, the world is not a good place and a bad place. It's got good things and bad things in it. And sometimes the bad things, learn about them before you bitch. That's all I gotta say. Pick up a freaking book, or oh my god, you can't read a book, go on the internet, not Facebook and Twitter, you freaking idiots. Go to the science pages and read 8 or 10 of them, because if you only read the guys you like, you're never getting the whole story.
No.
Because the government will only pay you and give you grant money if you say what they want you to say. If you're not talking about sea level rise and global warming and catastrophic end of the world, you cannot get paid. So this is why you hear about sea level rise. It's come up 7 3/4 inches in the last 300 years. Give me a break, you lying bunch of no-nuts. You know? So, anyway, with Okeechobee, is it a good thing they're dumping all that out? No. Do we need fertilizer? Yes, I like to eat. I actually like asparagus and rice and potatoes and all this stuff. I want to eat. I actually want to have a full belly. So let's get a little more realistic here. So anyway, rant over. Indian Fields, done by Matt Lachey.
ResearchGate.org. It's where all your scientific journals are posted.
Yeah, ResearchGate.org.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is you got to read different people, different biologists,
sure,
different websites, because so many of the people doing the studies rely on government grants. And if they're not saying what the government wants to hear, you lost your job, Bucky.
Yep. That's just another avenue for research.
Yeah, no, and it's a good one. But I'm just saying, vary it.
Absolutely.
I like looking at the older the reports, the less bought and paid for they were. Mm-hmm. Especially if I can find reports from the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Right.
You know, because they were out after the science. Now, were all of them right? No. But if you take that as a starting point, then look at some of the new stuff and decide for yourself where they all fit together. It's the other thing you have to do. You want to know what the weather's doing, if you want to know what climate change is the climate changing? Absolutely, you freaking idiot. It's way hotter today than it was a week ago.
Yes.
Is climate change real? Of course it is, you moron. It changes every couple months. All right.
Next.
Matt Lachey.
Snooker doing really good off of the bridge there. And then they've also been getting some nice mangrove snapper right underneath the bridge. And then if you work your way up along the mangrove shorelines, some of the kayak guys have been doing really good on some nice redfish down there and a handful of trout. And then there's also been some juvenile tarpon popping up here and there, kind of scattered all over the place. Had several people have been kayaking down there and calling up or stopping in, picking up lures and bait, and just having a field day down there.
God, it's amazing how many people come up from Cape Coral up here.
It is. It's really cool.
Shocking. Well, then we closed the store in Fort Myers, so we're seeing a lot of them again, you know, because we don't have a Fort Myers store anymore.
Right.
Too little help out there. So, Pine Island Sound.
Everything you want. And you got snooker all along the bushes. Redfish are doing okay down there along the bushes. The trout are peppered all out in some of those deeper sand holes, along with some Spanish mackerel, a few pompano, lots of assorted sharks, and a lot of singles and double tarpon. If you're willing to be patient and drift or anchor on either side of the intercoastal, there's been a lot of nice tarpon cruising through there, and the water is super clear, so you get very good visibility range. You know, around Captiva Rocks has been really pretty decent for a good mix of those. The guys are catching them on live bait, dead bait. You know, if you're throwing up the dead bait, you're going to fight off the sharks a lot more.
I want to try that chum shaker stuff on the tarpon.
Yeah.
With dead bait.
I'm trying it on like a live thready.
I don't know.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it for live bait.
Just like dip his tail in it, coat his tail real quick, and zing him back out there and see what happens. That might be kind of interesting. Or a pinner.
I could see it on the pinfish. I could see it on pinfish maybe more than I could on the thread fins. But when they die, it'd be awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just wondering, you know, the thread fins are so active when they swim. Wonder if they would kind of wash the stuff off quicker.
Probably.
Maybe a pinfish. The only thing I would think of with a live fish is its swimming action would probably just take that, you know, remove a lot of that stuff right away.
Right. But if you're sight casting to a fish, maybe it might intrigue them quicker reaction strike.
No, that's a good point.
You know, just
if you're actually going to sight cast to a fish and you got to coat it in that powder and it's giving off all that smell and getting fuzzy boils and stuff in the water, that might be a good reactionary bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah, I'm on your side with it. I think it's a great thought. I don't, you know, we got to find out if it works, but for so far, so good. I like the thought of it. Okay.
Definitely.
The very thought of it. Come on to Jug Creek Shoals. Bokeelia, the thought of it.
Wow. Rants to serenading. Nice. Like it. There's a Spanish mackerel. A lot of small sharks throughout that whole area. And if you work the Bokeelia shoreline over towards even the Pay Pier, there's been a whole lot of snook cruising all through that area. A handful of bluefish. What was it the guy was telling me? Oh, he caught the false barracuda, the sennet.
Oh.
And then he saw one that he swears was probably about 3 feet long, so I'm going to say that one was actually really a barracuda. You know, because he told me the one that he caught, and he saw a couple other fish at first. He thought they were houndfish and whatever, because he kept throwing the hook, but he landed the one, and it was, the picture was 12, 14 inches.
Well, that's probably the sennet, but I think 3 foot, I think, would be a barracuda.
Yeah, I would have to guess that it's definitely a barracuda at that size.
All right, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Getting closer from the southern part of Burnt Store to Two Pines is a lot of snook. Whole lot of snook. There's been a few redfish down there, a lot of little sharks cruising on the bar and just on the outside edge of the bar. Pompano started to show up just a little tiny bit down there too. There's been a couple of the wade fishermen finally starting to go out there, getting a couple of reports on some small trout too.
Yeah, there a couple of guys say they caught a ton of small trout on there.
Yeah. One customer said he got banged by a small shark and it scared the snot out of him. He was catching the little trout. Yeah. Yeah. Came up behind him and just kind of bumped into him. He said,
it's really weird how you're sitting there and you're trying to release these fish and the sharks will just come up and hit you like, let it go, asshole.
Yeah.
You know, that's mine.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally thump you.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of times bull sharks, bull or black tip sharks, but I saw the shark after it thumped me in the back of the leg.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, when somebody comes behind you, puts their knee on behind your knee,
yeah,
you know, they make you fall down. Literally, you just kind of get slammed by these little sharks. That's like, let it go. I want that.
Yeah, it's your reality check. Flipper sticks his head out and looks cute. I'm just going to thump you and scare you to drop it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're out there with somebody who's never been wading in salt water, has always wanted to do it, and then you have one of these sharks come up and just, you know, bop them in the back of the leg. I mean, they're not trying to bite you. They could easily bite you. They're just, like, telling you, let go.
Yeah.
You know, my fish, not your fish. Let it go. I want it. You got it. You know, drop it.
Yeah.
It's
like strong-arming you.
Yeah.
It's like a bully taking your lunch money in junior high.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have it.
It's just really weird, you know, because when you said that, immediately flashback. I was out with one guy, and he begged me to take him wading. And I'm like, all right, but we're going to be in, like, just a little over our waist because we're going to be in kind of, it drops down, and it comes up in a sandbar, and the fish will be on the other side of that sandbar. So we're going to be in, like, waist-deep water casting over a bar in a little deeper pocket. And that stupid bull shark came up between, and I felt something go by me. We'd only caught a couple of fish at this point, and I felt something go by me. I'm like, damn. And before I could think of it, I just started to call over and tell him, you know, just stay still because there's a shark right here in the flats with us, you know. And I was just going to warn him to stay still. The shark isn't going to bother you, but no running and, you know, making the shark crazy. And all of a sudden that shark fed came right up out of the water right next to him, and it was just checking him for fish, like, did he have fish on a stringer or something like that. It wasn't attacking him by any means. I mean, I would have jumped on the shark at that point or something, you know. I would have definitely, you know, tried to save him. Not that I'm that tough, but, you know, he's my responsibility. So all of a sudden he saw that fish, and that shark went by him, maybe touched him, maybe with a few inches. That guy did the best Jesus impression I've ever seen. You know, the guy's doing the hurdles where they're going over the track with their feet up.
Yeah.
He was literally in waist-deep water getting his feet to come out of the water as he was running back to the boat.
That would
have been me. I'm sitting there, and he did it so fast. I was like, he's still the fishing pole when he got to the boat.
Hey, at least he didn't drop that. That's always good.
I mean, talk about high stamina, man. I'll never forget the way that looked.
That's funny.
That was awesome.
Had to be hilarious.
Nobody got hurt, and I was so surprised I didn't even laugh yet. I did later.
Oh, yeah.
I still am.
Right?
You know. All right.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the poor shark wasn't bothering anybody or doing anything. East side.
A lot of snook. Quite a few redfish moving around over there. Most of the redfish I'm hearing about over there on the little bit smaller side. But lots of big snook and small snook. As you move your way out onto the outside of the bar, there has been a few pompano, a few cobia, an oddball tarpon. They haven't moved in there thick yet again. They will over the next week or so, I think. And then a lot of small sharks anywhere on the outside of that bar. 2 to 6 feet of water, you'll find sharks. If you find some bait, you'll find even a few Spanish and a few ladyfish mixed in with them, but it hasn't been super gangbusters on them, just a few incidental ones here and there. The snook are just the most talked about one over there, though, because they're just seeing so many.
Yeah, it's just amazing how many snook there are this year.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you how out of touch, you know, FWC is. This is like the best snook year we've ever had. More people catching them, more people seeing them than we've had reports on in years.
Yep. I know. What can you do?
Sit there and go, are you freaking kidding me?
Yep.
Just goes to show, bought and paid for. That's why we say read a lot of different reports, because, you know, so much of this is all bought and paid for political posturing.
Yep.
All right. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut.
A lot of snook through there. There's been some really nice snook going all the way into Burnt Store Isles, along with some very large jacks. And then there's even been a handful of black drum actually cruising through Alligator Creek itself. Got guys that live there and boaters that are coming through there and saying they're seeing some nice black drum cruising the shorelines. A couple guys caught a couple of small bluefish at the mouth of the mouth there. And you know they moved that no wake sign in there?
Where'd they put it?
Farther up, like almost to Poacher's Cut or even past Poacher's Cut.
I would have thought they would have, you know, gone all the way up to the marina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was past the marina, so they probably just...
They moved it closer towards the marina. Because it used to be further south than that.
Used to be further to the mouth?
Yeah.
They made more no wake?
No, you can go. Because yeah. It used to be, yeah, more no wake. Like, go as fast as you want up to, like, Poacher's Cut, I think. I'm trying to remember so exactly where it was at, but I asked Carl about it.
They made the no wake zone smaller.
Correct.
So, the only thing that could be is, where does that new PGI canal going to come out?
Right up by there. It's going to come out there right between the marina there and that big mangrove patch.
So, what they would want is slow no wake from there in, but as soon as you got in the creek, they didn't go through all that to continue going slow.
Right. Exactly.
So. All right. Ponce de Leon Park.
A lot of big snook being caught there from the actual pier itself. I mean, that one kid that comes in here all the time, he hooked one that he swears was 4 feet long, and he's not a very good liar. So I believe him. Because he hooks some pretty quality fish down there. There's been some nice black drum in there, a whole lot of mangrove snapper, and a handful of jacks coming through there. One guy did say he hooked a cobia that he was wade fishing out front and hooked it by the channel. He never landed it. It came charging him, and then he tried to catch up to it, and it turned and ran out and went around the marker and broke him off.
That's why I don't understand when people buying the conventionals nowadays. And they don't want to spend the money to get the two-speed. So they're going to spend $160 or $80 on a single-speed reel when they can throw, you know, another $100 at it and get the two-speed that would actually do the darn job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're not talking about these guys are hurting for money.
No.
When a guy's really on a budget and all that, you know, you want to try and help him out as Absolutely. Much as possible and get him something that'll work. But when a guy's got money and $100 isn't going to change his life.
No.
And, you know, he can afford a nice toy. I don't understand what that's about. When you choose the lesser of the option to save a little bit of money, they've spent, you know, $80,000 or $100,000 on a boat, $400 worth of fuel, yada da 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 da, and yet getting a reel that will actually do the job. Like that Fathom 2-speed. The thing's amazing.
And, absolutely.
You know, it does everything the high-dollar ones do, and less than $300. So, I don't get that.
You have an extra one over there? No.
Oh, probably not, but I can share.
Okay.
So, anyway.
It is the nicest 2-speed on the market for dollar value, too.
For dollar value, it is. I mean, the accurates are... You know, they're a little bit better, and some of the other ones are a little bit better. You know, they're, you know, drag them both sides instead of one side. There's you can get better reels, but not for the money.
Not for
you know,
the
like
money.
A Marquesa. They're awesome. I don't think they make them anymore, but Mm-mm. they're awesome. But, you know, they're heavy.
Yep.
They're bigger. They're heavier.
Yeah.
All right, PGI Canals.
A lot of snook through there. a lot of juvenile tarpon, up to like 40 pounds of juveniles. There's like, they're kind of like those teenagers. And then they're getting some big black drum, the of assorted sizes, from 15 pounds up to like 50 pounds. The mangrove snapper bite's been pretty decent back in there, especially the people who are really targeting them using, you know, the cut thread fins or the silver sides.
I ain't got to say, silver sides shocked me as how they're catching snapper.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't have thought it.
Where'd that come from kind of bait?
Yeah, we got a picture. He didn't put his name on here. I know who it is, but I don't want to screw it up in case I'm wrong. You got Big Bluefish back in Burnstour Isles. We've had Genie with snook, and Colin with a nice drum, and there's just been some awesome fish being caught back up in there.
Nice.
Alright, let's see, PGI Canals, and headed down to Gilcrest Pier.
Couple of sharks. They've been getting a few sharks down there.
I'm going to say.
Most of them are juvenile bull sharks that are being mistaken for black tips.
They caught a few whiting out of there. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
A couple of cobia, one legal cobia off of there. And then the jacks and the snook have been cruising the new seawall fairly regularly, too. You know, that seawall is pretty impressive how tall they made it.
Yeah. All right. And what's funny about that seawall, the most hilarious thing, it's good for breaking waves, but all of the drain pipes for the roads are down.
Yeah.
And the water is not coming over the seawall, but it's literally boiling backwards up through the storm drains in the streets. I mean, the streets are flooding out because the water can get a foot or two higher along the seawall than the level of the street grates.
Yeah.
And so the storm drains on the street just literally run backwards.
Yeah.
You would think they put a flapper on them so that the water would just go out, but it would hit against that flapper, like on the back of a boat in a scupper, you know? Yeah. It's a little flapper and stops the water from pounding its way in and allows the water to go out.
That would require an engineer to figure that out.
Yeah, an engineer should do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally a stupid piece of, you know, eighth-inch stainless steel on a hinge. Oh, my God. That was hard to figure out, boys.
They'd use plastic first so it'll break.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely going to use plastic first. Alligator Creek Reef.
It's been quiet there, but they've been starting to pick up a few mangrove snapper, a couple of cobia, and a few sharks. You know, this has probably been the quietest winter that we've had and spring that we've had on that reef. For as much bait fish that are out there, it should be stacked with Spanish mackerel.
This is the one place I'm hoping that chum powder stuff really will make a difference.
Right.
Because there are a lot of fish on that reef. Just getting to where they are and getting them to bite is tough.
Right.
But there's a lot of fish there. But man, are they hard to, you know, I think because they get a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Lighter leader, longer leader. Be a little more stealthy.
But I'm hoping that stuff changes the aspect on that reef.
Yeah, that would be a fun place to experiment with it at.
And I think if you're going to get that chum coating for your bait, the first year is going to rock it.
Yeah, absolutely.
After the first year goes by, the second, third, fourth year, it might still work good. But that first year is going to be amazing. It's like a brand new lure. They've never seen it. They don't know what it is. Boom, boom, boom. They're going to be busting on it.
Yeah.
Okay, the deep holes in the harbor.
There's been a few Spanish mackerel out there. Not a ton, but it's definitely worth trolling through the area if you are out there. Other than that, it's been kind of quiet this week because of the hill tide finally finishing off. There's not any tarpon in there that I've heard of yet. But
no, I've heard of a couple, but it's just very, very sporadic.
Right. I think they're going to dump in there better by this weekend or the end of the weekend, not the tides are starting to go back to kind of normal.
Freshwater and bass are hitting frogs again.
Yeah, we've started to pick up frogs. We've started to pick up a little bit on the spinner baits. Those spider jigs have been working pretty good. And quite a few guys are rigging up the wacky style. They're buying some of those gaskets again. We're selling some of those again. But the shiners are still king right now. You know, we've had rains in isolated areas. I mean, Northport got a whole lot of rain the other day, so some of their spillways are flowing. A couple of the spillways over there on the 9 Mile Canal are flowing on Hillsborough there. A couple of them are bone dry, and a couple of them are dumping pretty good, so I don't know if they lowered them or what.
Actually, we've had a lot of rain out the house. You haven't been getting it, but it's probably rained 2, 3, 4 times a week for the last few weeks out of my house.
I got one
flooding out there.
I got one good deluge about a week ago.
Yeah.
That's it.
We've been getting out in the heights. We've been getting a lot of rain.
Nice.
Even, what was it, Tuesday night, I think we got rain?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's back to that thing where if you're on the other side of 75, it's already starting to rain.
Nice. Yeah, I've been seeing some good thunderheads and lightning at night over that direction, but it seems like it's out even farther out there towards 31 and stuff.
Some of it is.
That's cool. You know, I've had a few guys catching some better bluegill, too. Not a lot, but they've been catching some quality ones because they've been buying some of the wigglers. A couple guys have been buying some of those beetle spins and that little jig that you got back in, the little the hair jigs.
Yeah, I forget the name of them, but they're a really good little jig.
They are.
I used to carry them back like in the 80s and early 90s. We used to sell a ton of those. And then I lost track of the manufacturer, and then it turns out they deliver shiners to us.
Pretty funny.
Did you want some of these? Yeah, I'll take that one, 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 that one. So, anyway, all right, let me see if I can get this up. Come on. Not there. I'm going to have to open it. All right, give me just a second here.
Okay.
You can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about.
Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. Make sure you get out there, be safe, enjoy your family, and honestly, you know, Memorial Day weekend's about paying your respects to, you know, the troops, basically, that have provided us with a phenomenal country that we have. Whether you believe in it or not, you know, this is what our whole country is based on, is our freedoms, you know, to agree to disagree and all that good crap, but most importantly, to just respect the truth.
The right to have good arguments. I don't understand why people don't like to argue anymore.
You know, but respect the troops, you know, give them their kudos where they deserve it. You know, a lot of people have given up their lives for this place. A lot of guys who have survived have still given up their lives for this. So.
Oh, yeah, you come back with no legs or missing arms
mentally,
and stuff like that, and your brain all screwed up.
Yeah, so
you've given your life to it.
Yeah, so
you don't have to die to give your life to it.
No, so this is the weekend to give yourself a little thanks, give yourself, if you're into religion, pray a little bit, and just be grateful that we have what we've got.
And give some thought to some of the most hardcore believers are the ones who've had some of the worst things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be something more than what you think, boys and girls.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, Red Dots and Boca Grande Pass.
Boca Grande Pass is going to be the king for the Red Dots.
All right.
Maybe even some Red Dots down there in Captiva, because I've gotten some pretty good reports down in that area.
Okay.
And then the second best is those are the White Dots, right?
Yellow Dots.
Yellow Dots. Yellow Dots would be the ICW from Sanibel up through to Boca Grande.
Any Red Dots at Sanibel?
Yeah, I would give maybe the Yellow Dots out there on Knapp's Point. I don't know if it's because of the wind or what, but it's been too sporadic of reports to say it's great.
Gotcha.
Better than average, but not great.
Between Boca and Captiva?
Yeah, definitely.
What about on the beaches?
I haven't heard much out on the beaches at all.
Carl said they've been going out there, so I'm going to white dot it.
There's been some out there by the, what's that, Helen's Reef that's outside of Captiva?
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anything in like 3 days out there.
But what's going to be weird is I'm doing white dots right along the shore, and then we're going to go to yellow dots way out.
Okay.
7 to 9 miles out.
There you go.
They're way out.
Yeah. They were when him and I went out there a couple weeks ago. Jeez. 9 miles or 8.5 miles we started at and worked our way into like 6, and that's where those fish stayed. They didn't move any closer or any farther. They just, and it was fun of 8 hours of standing there twiddling my thumbs, getting frustrated.
And I'd even rode on there 7 to 9 miles out. All right, any night dots?
The Sanibel Causeway. They have been picking up a few at El Jobin and the 41 Bridge. Most of those have been the smaller guys, though. You know, 20 to 40 pounders with an occasional bigger one. And like you said, you got the ones that have been in the holes a little bit. But
what about Matt Lachey?
I haven't heard of anything but the little juveniles right at the mouths of the canals.
Out in front of Two Pines?
Nothing. No.
Okay.
Those fish disappeared.
All right. Up the river anywhere?
The 75 Bridge in the mornings and the evenings. Especially on the smaller guys.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else for the tarpon?
Not really.
Okay.
I think it's going to change a lot after this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there's so much bait around, and the tides are going to go back to normal. I think we're going to see a good flux of fish move out along the beaches and into the intercoastal and start seeing some more fish move back into the harbor again.
All right. Anything you want to talk about tarpon-wise while I put this in?
Geez, I mean, go out there and try to find some crabs, but to be honest with you, after these moon phases like this, they gorge themselves heavy on the crabs, and that's what everyone thinks that they have to have, but just still don't be afraid. Go out there and take some shrimp with you. They don't have to be giant shrimp, just a shrimp. You know, a select size shrimp is more than perfect. Try to catch yourself some squirrel fish if you want, just off the beaches out there by the bell buoy. You know, 3 to 6 miles out, you should be able to find some squirrel fish to try. You know, there's a lot going on out there with those fish, and they're going to change their diet quickly. And if these thread fins that are offshore, those bigger thread fins, start moving into the harbor a little bit more, you'll start to see them focus on those a little bit too. So take a little mixed arsenal out there if you're trying to stay in the Boca Grande area to fish for them. You know, and I would even try the DOA shrimp, or even that jumbo DOA shrimp, or even a couple of those artificial crabs.
It's crazy how many people think you've got to have crabs to catch tarpon right now, and that's ludicrous.
Yeah. I mean, is it working great? Absolutely. But are they so hard to find? Yes, they are. You know, so it's like,
I mean, we're getting calls from all the way up and down the coast. You're getting crabs, you're getting crabs. And people are willing to drive from Venice.
Tampa,
Fort Myers, Naples. I mean, they're willing to come up anywhere they can find crabs.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we're going through 200-300 a day.
Yeah.
So that's actually quite a few.
Yeah, that's saying something.
All right. Well, that's up. And anything you want to add to anything?
No, I think we've said probably enough and then some.
Yeah, I ranted a little bit. I feel better. Yeah. Stop by and check out some of the new renovations. We got a lot of cool fish up on the back wall of the store. I don't have the front of the store done yet, but I do have the back done. I think you'll enjoy that. Some stainless steel fish, the murals, the antique outboards. We've got a new jewelry section. Yes. Caution, entering boutique area.
Yes.
We're working on the front of the building. The potholes in the back parking lot are gone. Gee whiz, I don't know.
Leaps and bounds of improvements.
Yeah, baby steps, I think you'd more like it. But I mean,
some of them are pretty extreme. Some of them are pretty good jumps.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just the one doing all of it, so you're starting to do that little shuffle. Crap, I'm getting beat up.
Yeah, I would really like to be able to, you know, have the, just getting the lights up in the reel room. We've got hundreds and hundreds of reels hung up, and we've got rods all over. I just need to get the lighting done and then decorate. We put, I don't know, probably 400 Polaroid pictures up in the ceiling. We got another 1,000 to go. Thousands of pictures to put up. That we've got some up already. Antique reels we're putting up, antique rods, a lot of cool stuff.
Giving its own flavor.
Yeah, it's you know, there's only like one room that really doesn't feel like Fish and Frank's, and it kind of does now.
There you go.
So, but it is kind of boutique-ish.
Definitely.
So
it's definitely
most of the stores right kind of going back to the, you know, regular Fish and Frank thing. But that one room is, and I'm gonna keep making that one nicer and nicer because having a boutique is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Never been able to do it before. So, anyway, Fish and Frank here, Robin the chair across from me. Thank you guys so much for listening. Everybody all over the country and other countries and even Canada. Canada.
Nice.
Yes, we got a bunch of people up in Canada. We love y'all. So, you guys be safe up there. You know, if you're in that Midwest tornado alley, our prayers are with you. You know, God bless you, and nothing worse than waking up not having a house. I know, been there, done that. So, you know, I wish there was more we could do. If I had more money, I'd do more stuff. So, anyway, we'll see you later, boys and girls, and take care. Talk to you next week.